Yeah, yes, I'm ready. Yeah, thank you kind of for having me. I'm Dave Greff. I'm just a little bit about me. Actually, I have not so much to do my day-to-day work life with Java or CI. So I'm basically just a contributor. And so the subtitle of this talk is also a kind of contributor story. And yeah, tell me about MQTT. There will be some demonstrations as well. How the new binding works. That's actually more than one binding. It's a three bundles in total. And we will see how it works, as well as see a little bit about the architecture.
They
publish messages to this broker to a specific topic. This is how MQTT organizes messages. Other clients can subscribe to those topics and then receive the messages. So let's have a closer look at the topic and its layout. We basically have different topic levels and the topic separator. And what is actually important is topics are case sensitive, and if you put a slash at the beginning, it's a totally different topic. So there's nothing like in the live system, like a root, that you always need to prefix. Okay, why does MQTT matter for Eclipse? As I said, it's one of those trendy IAP protocols. If I just have a look at the Google Trends graph, you'll see from like October 2010, oh, that's a 5-year graph, so it's at 2013, I guess. Up to 2018, you see this rising interest of people Googling MQTT. And there is, I would say, at least one standard IAP protocol that is relevant, that is probably Goa. Eclipse is also supporting or having on their website the Goa protocol as one of the IAP protocols. And here is the comparison graph where you see MQTT is actually still more of interest than CoAP for people Googling for MQTT IOTS or CoAP IOTS. So yeah, MQTT is a big topic, and so I thought it's about time to have it in Eclipse as well. What I find kind of funny, if you look at Google Trending, you see that just the second most relevant or related topic is OpenMap, actually. Quite funny. Okay, and OpenMap 1. How would you use MQTT? You would declare your brokers in this mqtt.cfg file, which basically looks like this. So you were able to define multiple brokers. That's why Kai at that time introduced this dot syntax. A broker needs an address. MQTT supports a simple authentication mechanism, so you can have a username and a password. QoS stands for quality of service. MQTT knows about 3 levels of quality of service. Retain basically means if I publish a topic to the broker, it stays at the broker. It's and if another client later on subscribes for this topic, it will get this message from the broker. And if retain is not set, this is just a real flag in MQTT in the protocol. If it's not set, then the publish from the client is basically just an event. So any other MQTT client that subscribes later on will not get this message anymore. This other flag, async, is actually super irrelevant, but yeah, it's still there. How would you declare your items with OpenMap 1? Basically, with this syntax, you would subscribe to a state topic, and if you switch this item, then you could tell OpenMap where to publish this command to. So in this case, we are publishing one to the topic "My house office lights set" if the switch is on and 0 otherwise. So this is how you do it in OpenMap 1. No things, no bridges, no channels involved. And now, the reason why I got involved. Because MQTT CFG, this configuration file actually sucks.
pardon me for this word, it's a mess. Because at least at that time when I used it, like in OpenHub 2.2.2, there was this phenomenon I call this shadow entries, where you basically, let's have a look at this configuration again. I mean, if you for the first time configure a broker, you would do it like this, and then imagine it doesn't work for some reason. What I do usually, because I don't trust IT, I copy the section and write it again, but I'm changing the broker name. Because personally, I think, does the configuration that I now have entered, is it really applied to the OpenHub system? So I just change the broker name so that it can have in the log, I can have the real new broker name, and now, okay, I know my configuration is applied. And the problem at that time was your old configured brokers in your configuration file, they were still there. So you couldn't delete them. The only way how you could delete them was deleting all the caches. And basically, the most advices in the forum and the community was to just reinstall OpenHub. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunately, yeah, that's how it was. And the other thing is, this way of how you configure a service, this was absolutely a singular solution. It wasn't used anywhere else in the framework, that we had this dot syntax. So there was no framework support for this. So the MQTT service at that time parsed all these entries itself. There were no tests for it and nothing else. So actually, what you need in this place was like a more structured format, like XML, JSON, whatever I listed there, or even any file format. This is actually what I proposed first when I worked on MQTT, that the configuration system could support like a tree structure for configurations. That wasn't accepted, unfortunately, but actually we have a better solution right now. But yeah, this is how I got involved. And another thing, okay, well, it's not that important, that you see all the lines. Another thing is the old transport bundle was, you have seen this async flag. That async flag basically told the transport if it should use the underlying PAHO MQTT library in async mode, otherwise it would use it in sync mode, which basically means it uses the async API of the underlying library and then wait until it's finished. That was not that efficient. So what I have, oh, there are probably people who doesn't know what async and synchronous API calls are, I think, but what you just need to know is it was super inefficient. So what I did, I refactored the whole bundle, that I actually used this capability of using the asynchronous API. And we used this because we had just switched at the time to Java 8. I could use this completable future API, which allows us now to have a very efficient and cool API to use for the transport bundle. And then I thought, because now all those things were fixed, yeah, like configuration issues, like this super inefficient calls to the MQTT broker, and I thought, oh, right, then every user can use this now. And then that happened. I fixed the wrong bundle, because now I noticed I fixed the Eclipse Smart Home one, but there's another one, the OpenHub one, and this is the one that people used. So I fixed the totally wrong one. Then I realized that actually nobody, and then I actually realized that nobody has used this transport bundle so far. which allowed me to do a lot of refactorings again. Okay, let's have a look at the core architecture. I'm very sorry that I need to show you some details of the framework, but it's required here to understand. So let me... Oh, I forgot I have no mouse cursor here. Okay, I will cope with that. So what you see here, what is actually quite important, do I have a laser pointer? Yes. What you see is the OSGI configuration admin. This is this beast that I told you about, the configuration system within Eclipse Smart Home, within OpenHub, where all the service configuration values go into. And this is fed by configuration files, but also nowadays you can use the paper UI to configure, but also, of course, the OSGI console. And this is the new concept that we used now for configuring multiple brokers. Instead of this dot syntax, you have a simple configuration file now for each broker that you want to have. And there's a service in the background created for every of those files that creates a connection and adds it to a service that we call MQTT service. So this was in the very old days as well. It just changed its purpose. Nowadays, it's just like an observable list of connections. And while I was into it anyway, I thought, okay, why should I struggle with installing Mosquito if there's Java MQTT broker as well? So I just added the MQTT broker into the framework. And now we have an embedded broker that you can start from paper UI, and you have a working broker. It's that simple. What you actually need to know, this broker also registers to this service that has this whole list of other brokers configured. Okay. Now we come to a small demonstration already, which works on this one and doesn't work on that one, which is interesting. Well, that's how it is. No, I don't do that like that. I think I'm just refreshing the... I don't need network. It's local. That's why I don't understand why it's not working. There we go. Yeah, IT. I told you I don't trust IT. Okay, I'm in the inbox now, but that's not what we want. I want to show you the services. And there you can see... Oh. Huh. Now you can't, because I'm controlling here. So that's super stupid. Okay, how do I do that? I'm switching the slide notes off. I'm just working here. Okay. Configuration services. And you see the embedded broker here. And this is how you configure it. So you can tell all the details that you want your broker to be configured like. So the port, if it should be secure connection, and so on. Credentials, persistent file, and so on. So this is how you configure the broker. And as soon as you actually have done this, if you press on save, the broker is restarted in the background, and it is available. And let me see. This is an integrated shell into a website. I just want to tell you. So let me see. Because we have Mosquito subscribe. Exactly. So I'm now subscribed to every topic that is going through the MQTT broker. I didn't tell you, but topics can contain wildcard characters, and this is the one for just listen to everything. Okay, at the same time, I want to publish something. So I'm using Mosquito Publish. And I'm publishing, like, hello to the topic. Actually, that doesn't matter. Test. And you see, this is all going through the embedded broker now. The hello was received. So yeah, that worked very early already, actually. But you can't do anything right now. There's OpenHub or Eclipse Smart Home, whatever you use, and you have configured brokers so far, but you can't use them. And you have an embedded broker, can't use this as well, except maybe from outside. So what I did next was designing an MQTT broker configuration extension. What does this do? It allows you in Paper UI to configure brokers, even external ones like Mosquito, and making them available to the framework as bridges for other bindings that want just to have a working connection to a broker. So that's what this binding does. Is the architecture important? Maybe a little bit for anyone who wants to develop bindings on top of that, because everything is basing from an abstract broker handler. This is what you actually would use if you develop your own binding somewhere. And I have two different internal bridge types, which is a system type which lists all the stuff that is in this MQTT service. And then I have this broker bridge which where you configure everything yourself. I show this in a minute. What I also have, and where I'm very proud of actually, is the discovery. If the user wants to, he can scan the local subnet and scan for working brokers, and they are listed in the inbox. Okay, let's have a look how this works. I've shown you the embedded server. This is already started, and I do have the MQTT thing binding. It is enabled, and now I can go to the inbox, and I already see all the system brokers that the system has found so far. And if I want to, I can now also search for things and search for local brokers. But of course, there are none. Yeah. Now I want to show you how you would actually configure your, like, if you have a Mosquito instance somewhere in your network and it can't be found because it's on a different subnet work or somewhere else on the internet, you would just configure it like this. So you enter, let's enter the Google IP address for DNS requests, and we want secure connection automatic, and then I just add this broker, and as expected, this broker now tries to connect to the Google DNS server, expecting an MQTT server, doesn't find one, so the bridge is offline. So that works quite well. Yeah, and of course we can now add our system broker, the embedded broker as well, so that we have it in our configured things, because we need it in a moment. Let us quickly check. Okay, embedded broker is working. The strange other broker that we just configured, of course, is offline. Okay, so now we can configure brokers. But again, the user can't really use it so far. He needs his things and his channels and somehow bind MQTT topic values to items. Okay, I don't know why I have scroll bars everywhere. Maybe my browser just likes scroll bars. I don't know. I guess that is because the font size are probably, yeah, exactly. However. So I thought about different architectures, how to, pardon me, how to realize those things. I mean, this is one of my first architectures that I had. Like, if you have a generic, because at that time you couldn't add channels manually on the paper UI. So my only way of solving this issue so that the user can add things manually was to actually use things. So my first architecture was like having a bridge that sits on top of the broker connection bridge, and of course has a connection because of that. I configure a state topic and a command topic. And then the user could add manually things to this, like a text thing, a number thing, and so on. And every thing would have just one channel, which is, again, a text or a number, anything else. Fortunately, the framework developers realized that having extendable things with channels is a good thing, and so this addition came to the framework. So this is the current architecture. You configure a thing. You need to select the broker, of course. And then you can add manually channels to this. Again, I will show this in a demonstration. So this is actually an architecture that is quite cool. Does anyone have the time? Because I don't. Okay. I will show you the demonstration in a moment, because there's one thing that I wanted to add to this binding as well, and this is auto-discovery. Auto-discovery for MQTT can only work if we know the topic structure. And this only goes, this goes hand in hand with MQTT conventions. And common conventions at that time when I developed the binding were two that I found. Pardon me for listing this, but one of our competitors, Home Assistant, they were actually a little bit faster than us, and they have this convention of Home Assistant components. The binding is supporting them, but as well this more independent standard called Homey, which personally I think is quite well developed and designed, because this convention does not allow components to disappear. There's no signal if a component disappears from the network, and the Homey one does this. So, okay, again, let's create a thing. So this is just a manual thing. As I said, I need to select a broker. I select the system broker. The thing is added. And as I told you, I can now add channels. Let's add a text channel. Label doesn't matter, it's test. Channel ID doesn't matter as well, it's just test.
What is important is the state topic.
Test text.
And to just save this as it is. And let's have a look in the control panel. There's our thing, there's our test channel. And let's execute this shell script. And as you can see, that works quite well. Okay. Now, let's do this auto-discovery feature. I told you, if we know the topic layout, we can do auto-discovery. So I'm now publishing a Homey device, a simulated Homey device. And there it goes. Because I have added two brokers, I now see this device twice. But of course, usually you would have this once. And as you can see, that works quite well. And this is how Homey is structured. Yeah, there's always the space topic Homey. Then there's a device identifier, a not an identifier, and how's it called again? I forgot. But what is important is this is the topic that I can push a state update to so that I can see it. But I think I'm running out of time, so I just skip publishing this. You can download the slides, test it yourself. You can also download the bindings, test it yourself. Okay, so we haven't even published this binding, but people in the forum, they are on those milestone builds or snapshot builds, they already have found the new binding, and they started to complain already before even being released. Because if you get the new milestone, all the old MQTT bindings are disabled, uninstalled. And so people now have problems because this binding is not a full substitute for the old system, because in the old MQTT infrastructure there was this MQTT actions binding, and I have not a substitute for this within the shared bindings. And this is the reason. Do I have another 1 minute? I try. This is the reason why I published just on Thursday. I developed a small like automation module binding that will be the substitute for the MQTT actions binding. And what it does support is, I don't know if anybody has seen the new rule engine already. Can I have a hand for everyone who has seen that? Okay, that's like twice as much as I expected. The rule engine is, can have triggers, conditions, and actions, and I support all three of them. So you can trigger a rule by a published MQTT topic. You can have a condition on a topic. You can publish to an MQTT broker via a rule. So that will be possible at some point in the future as well. So then we have a full substitute for all the old MQTT bindings that were existing. Yeah, the numbers, you actually just need this number. All of the bindings together have a code size of around 10,000 lines. And there's another 3,500 lines of test code. And I had like 318 review comments. Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, I mean, there's still some things to do, like the embedded broker. How do you embed it, SSL certificates and access control and so on. But the recap for this presentation is basically what you have seen is a small idea of what MQTT is and all the free bindings that are required to replace the old MQTT system in the framework. Yeah, thanks.